All right, if you have your Bibles, we've been bouncing back in our studies on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning between Hebrews on Wednesday and Matthew on Sunday. And both books were written to Jews. And one is during the public ministry of our Lord. And the other is after his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection to Jews that are scattered basically around the world and throughout Israel. And what we need to understand, and the church for the most part has missed this. The Jews have made this, or not the church, the church has made the same mistakes that the Jews did. Now, God came to the Jews when he delivered them from Egypt. And they were at Mount Sinai. And he spoke to them in the 20th chapter of Exodus and gave them the law. And he spoke it to them orally first. And then upon doing that, they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Now, I guarantee I'm not much different than you are. And I can't read the law, just those Ten Commandments. I can't read it without being convicted by it. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous, not even one. And the law, in his schoolmaster role, as schoolmaster changed or trained children. So what is the training that the law does for us? It should say to us, you're a sinner, you're lost, you need a Savior. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But because of the lie of the devil, and we've been dealing with this in these two books and in the book of Romans, the world looks at the law and they say it's good and right and holy. And they're right. And they say this is the way we should live. No, the law shows us how we can't live. The law demands perfection. And we're incapable of supplying perfection. So the schoolmaster role of the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so that we might be what? Justified by faith. So the schoolmaster role of the law then is to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. But most of the people in the world, and a large number under the canopy of Christianity, have all been confused into thinking that they can be like God by that which separated them from God. Let's go back once again to the third chapter of Genesis. And I know this is repetitious, but it is missed by so many, I think the repetition is necessary. And when we look at what the serpent did with Eve, this is exactly what the religions of the world, what the devil through the religions of the world, has done with the rest of the world. Basically, he keeps telling the same lie again and again and again. Now, it may have some different forms. It may be known as Romanism. It may be known as the Anglican Church or this church or that church or Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. All of the religions of the world are all based upon what man can do for God. And the fact of the matter is, The scripture says there's not a what? Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So how can we, from a base of, you know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, how could we possibly satisfy God by failed attempts at law keeping, because they have to be failed because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not? Now, the sad part about it is, our Lord came, well, it's not sad that our Lord came, but we'll get to the sad part in a moment. Okay, our Lord came, and he was born of a virgin. He was born under the law. He is, God is his father, so he has no sin nature. Sin nature is transmitted through the blood, and all of us have our blood from Adam, but the Lord Jesus Christ's blood came from the Father. So, in him is what? No sin at all. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, people say, oh, what delusion that a man could think that he is the only way into the presence of God. You know, and that's what the religions of the world say about Christianity. And sadly, when we look at Christianity as practice, most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity do not see the law in its schoolmaster role. They see it as something that they can do. And by doing it, the others will see their good lives and want to be like them. Well, that's absolutely false, you know, because I can't keep the law, you can't keep the law, no Jew ever kept the law, no Gentile ever kept the law, no one can keep the law. The only person who could keep the law and did keep the law is God, who became a man by means of the virgin birth, so that he could be a Jew under the law, so that he could fulfill the law, so that he could offer himself as a ransom for our sins. And I think back, that, you know, I went to three different Bible colleges, and they're all heavily into legalism. They would give some lip service to grace and faith, but for the most part, you know, they would say things like this: if you haven't won a soul to Christ this week, you're backslidden. Oh, really? Yeah. I know of people that have gone to countries in Africa and ministered there their whole lifetime and only had a handful of souls saved. You know. And if you think about it, in your own personal witness to your family and your loved ones, and you invite them to church and they don't want to come because they basically think they're just as good as you are or better. And so they see you as a pretender, a hypocrite, an actor. You're not. You're a sinner saved by grace. And what you want for your family and your friends is what you have for yourself. At a point in time, the Spirit of God quickened the Word of God to my heart so that I could see that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And Christ is that Savior. So, when we read the Gospels as written, and much of it, is or as interpreted by churches that don't understand, they're telling us that Jesus was showing us how to live. No, Jesus was not showing us how to live. The Jews were required to live according to the law, and they could not. So what he was showing them is that you're dead in trespasses and sin, and that you need a Savior. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, if you want to be justified by law, let's take one of the statements that Jesus made to the Jews in the 5th chapter of Matthew. All you have to do to be justified before God by law is, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, I don't know too many people that have an ego such that they would say, I can be perfect, because we all know that we cannot. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So as we've been studying in this book of Matthew and in the book of Hebrews, we see the gospel really being presented to the same people, to Jews, one when they were under the law, and the other when Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we have to understand that we as Gentiles were never under the law. Now many Gentiles have agreed with the law that it's good and right, holy, and in their ignorance of themselves have said, I can do that, but they can't. And he that offends in one point, what does the scripture say? He is guilty of all. Now, if we offend in one point, well then let's look at some of the points that our Lord pointed out. We'll start with the men. He that looks upon a woman to lust after in his heart has what? Committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, I don't know very many men that have very much testosterone in their system that hasn't at some time seen a gal that had a really nice figure and, very pretty face and lusted after her. Yeah. Then they don't have to have done anything with her. Just thinking about, wow, that would really be nice. Yeah. And every man has done that at some point in time. Yeah. Because the scripture tells us that we have. Yeah. I'm not trying to be cute or to be base. I'm just saying who we are. And then, of course, it says, if we've hated someone without a cause. Well, that falls more in the realm of the things that women do. They get kind of catty, Do you know what she did to me? I bought a new dress and she didn't even notice. crazy things. And she calls me her friend, there's no explanation for the sin nature other than it's a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, there's none of us that can be justified before God in our lives. That's what Jesus was teaching the Jews in his public ministry. And I want to read the temptation of Eve again so that we see what it really is. Now, the serpent was more subtle. That is, he's a sly devil. He can talk you into just about anything. Okay? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now, the way he says that, it means, did God really say you can't eat of every tree of the garden? No. He's acting as if God is withholding something from you. And that's the way that people, that it's that subtle way that we get led into the trap. Okay. So, did God really say you can't eat of every tree? And the woman said unto the serpent. And so the woman's trying to defend God. And she was created from a rib from Adam's side. So she's in the image of God. She doesn't have a sin nature. She's not in the position we are in. And she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But now she's trying to defend God. Because by subtlety, the serpent has said, did God really withhold the fruit of all of the trees from you? Would God do that? And so, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, now let's see if she's accurate. Ye shall not eat of it. Well, he did say that. Neither shall you touch it. He didn't say that. They had to take care of all the trees of the garden. Lest ye die. He didn't say that. He said that thou, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. So what have we done? We've taken what God has said and perverted it. And Eve has done this in an attempt to defend God. God needs no defense. And we need to be careful. You know, if you're witnessing to friends, if you don't know something, don't make it up. Because as soon as you make it up, you're on unscriptural ground. And, but you're trying to reinforce your argument. You're trying to win your argument. And that ego came from the tree, too. Okay? For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. This is what the serpent said. You want to be like God? All you have to do is disobey God. He doesn't say it that way. But if God has already warned them not to eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. And that's both spiritual death and physical death. They died immediately spiritually. And then they're going to die physically. And, we know that Adam lived over 900 years. I think it was about 960 years. Well, in the infancy of the race, it was necessary for people to have longevity. Otherwise, if we lived as short of lives as we live, the family would have, human family would have died off. All you would have to have is one little COVID outbreak or something. All right. Now, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is taking her further into it, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it looked good, and if the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, we'll go back to Genesis, or not to Genesis, but to Matthew. And so, what Jesus is dealing with in his public ministry, he came unto whom? His own. And his own, the Jews, received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to do what? To become the sons of God. And, of course, in this public ministry, Jesus primarily ministered to Jews. When they brought others, what have I to do with you? But he did heal Gentiles as well, and cast out demons and so on and so forth. So we need to recognize Christ's ministry was to the Jews under the law, and his ministry was promised. You know, what did the Jews get on Mount Sinai besides the law? They got the pattern of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. Why did they need that? Well, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. So God has laid out certain things that fall into the nature, into the realm of being sin, and he wrote them out in the Ten Commandments, and with the Jews there were many, many, many more laws other than the Ten Commandments, and they failed with respect to all of them. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. What does that say about self-righteousness? What does that say about people getting puffed up in themselves? You know, when we see someone who is a believer in Christ and they get involved in something that they shouldn't be involved in, should we think ourselves superior? Should we think, oh, how could they do such a thing? No. They have just manifested the fact that how weak we are in the flesh. The scriptures as says, Jesus said to the Jews, if we say that we have no sin, what do we do?
Deceiver.
We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. So none of us has a right relationship with God because of us. That's why Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Heavy on the unmerited. There's nothing about salvation that you deserve or that I deserve. See? Once we get that and we recognize that we carry this treasure about in an earthen vessel, this body of ours, this life of ours, is never going to be perfect as long as blood flows in it. Yeah. We're going to have a sin nature. And if we have a sin nature, we're going to sin. Yeah. So are we supposed to say, do you know what Sally did? Or did you know what Tom did? Or this or that? No, we are as believers. It's not approving sin, but it's recognizing ourselves for what we are. We have this treasure of salvation in what kind of a vessel?
Earthen.
It's an earthen vessel. Okay. Now, when Jesus was dealing with the Jews were steeped in their own self-righteousness. So he used the law lawfully. What was that? Well, the lawful use of the law is to make people who think they're justified by it realize that they're guilty, that they're sinners, that they can't have a right relationship with God based upon their lives. They need a Savior. That's what the public ministry of Jesus Christ was about as he ministered to Jews under the law. Because in their minds, and because of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council and various scholars along the way, they had to figure out, so that they could feel justified, that they were keeping the law. Yeah. But they couldn't. So what did they do? They interpreted it in a way to make themselves think that they could keep it. Well, if you do that, then the law loses its schoolmaster role. It's an indentured slave. That's what a schoolmaster is. An indentured slave of God to show you and me that we can't satisfy God by the lives that we live. But under the canopy of Christianity, sadly, the moment that you make a profession of faith, then they start piling it on. You know, you must do this. You must do that. You mustn't do this. You mustn't do that. And so people are either liars or guilty. Yeah. And neither one helps us in our relationship with God. Think about it. Yeah. In our relationship with God, the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is unmerited favor. So by the unmerited favor of God towards us, Christ came into this world, born as a Jew, born under the law, and at a point in time, gave himself as a ransom for sin, bearing your judgment and my judgment. So that's why he was nailed to the cross. Cursed is everyone or anyone who hangeth on a tree. Okay. And, you know, a tree, if you were hanged on a tree, that was a sign of a curse. So how is that represented to us? Well, when the nation of Israel were sinning against God, all the adults had died off. Now the children are, you know, they've been 40 years in the wilderness. Some of them were 20 years old when they went in. So now they're 60 years old, many of them. And they moaned and groaned and complained all the time they were in the wilderness. But God provided manna in the morning and quail at night, you know, for 40 years. They were never without anything. Their clothes didn't wear out. So now he says, they searched out the land, they came back, 12, a member of each of the 12 tribes. Caleb and Joshua gave a good report. The other 10 said, oh, there are giants in the land. We haven't got a chance. Really? You've been preserved in the wilderness for 40 years and you haven't got a chance? And God says, go in and utterly destroy the this one or that one? And you haven't got a chance? Think about Israel. Israel became a nation again May 14th, 1948. And there were different ones at that time. Russia, in fact, voted for their partition. Yeah. Great Britain was, abstained. They didn't vote. Yeah. The British were playing footsie with the Arabs and the Jews. And so they just abstained when it came to the vote. But anyway, the United Nations vote was that Israel would be a nation again back in her own land. Now, Winston Churchill boasted in one day in Cairo that he created the modern state of Jordan with a stroke of a pen. Jordan, all of that land belongs to Israel, but they haven't occupied it ever since they came back to the land in 48. There were Jews there before that, but, you know, for the Jews to be a nation again back in their own land, God promised it, and it happened. And we're getting close to the point when the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them to do what? Meet the Lord in the air. Believe me, that could happen any day. Yeah. When I was teaching these things back in the 80s, I was basing it upon the meaning of the word generation, and was a generation a period of time or a people? Well, as it worked out, it's a people. Yeah. But I was looking at it, It could be a period of time. So, generation nominally 40 years, Israel was back in the land for 40 years. So we were talking about the second coming. Brother Stewart said at the time, it's not bad enough. You know? And when we look at things today, just entering 2023, compared to things, well, I wrote my book on the second coming. I finished it in 2007. And things are far different today than they were then. Yeah. And we know that more than likely America is the Babylon of the 18th chapter of the Revelation. Yeah. And she's buying the world's goods. Yeah. And she says in her heart, and think about it, I said, a queen and then their widow. You know, we've had wars with the Indians and wars, civil war in this country. But all the foreign wars have been fought either in the Pacific or in Europe. You know. And this country of ours is without doubt the richest country in the world. With the crazy policies that are going on now, you wonder how long it can remain that way. You know, think about it. What country in the world has had the liberty and the freedom that America has had? Not one. You know, but the because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the left thinks that socialism is the perfect system. You know. Well, socialism won't work because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know. But they're pushing hard to make America a socialistic country. Really, they're just getting ready for the Antichrist to come. And if you think about it, all of us probably have at least one or two plastic cards in our wallet. And now you don't even need to stick it in the machine. You can just tap it. And I understand that they've already implanted that information in individuals. You know. Now, why will people throw their gold into the streets during the Great Tribulation period? Because you won't be able to buy or sell with it. You have to have the mark of the beast. If you have the mark of the beast, you're going to have in your forehead or in your hand the ability to buy. Yeah. The technology is there, folks. And so all you have to do is wave your hand over it. And if you're in good standing with the Antichrist, you'll be able to buy. Yeah. You have to worship him. Well, we're not going to be here. Yeah. As believers, the trumpet has to sound, the dead in Christ have to rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be there with the Lord for 7 years, and then at the end of the reign of the Antichrist, the Lord will come and put lock the devil up, you know, and he'll reign for 1,000 years. Everybody's all worried about global warming, global this, global that. You know, if we were raptured today, we still have 1,007 years on this earth before the Lord does what? Creates a new one. And one of the interesting things about the new heaven and the new earth, there's no sun. What causes a stage? The sun. Yeah. Yeah, these same precancers on my head are getting better, but it's been a long, long battle this time. Yeah, what's that mean? being out in too much sun. I was raised in Southern California, and when I came to Oregon, I worked in the two-way radio business, climbed towers. I've spent as much as 6 hours on a tower. There's no shade up there, folks. it's just, you know, but the sun's killing us. And that's what I think the devil's job was in the original creation. He's described in the Ezekiel, I think the 28th chapter, as being covered with all kinds of jewels. Now imagine a cloud of jewels orbiting at the same rate as we move with respect to the sun. And what a glorious sight that would be. Yeah. And let's make that a being, the devil. Yeah. And he was lifted up in pride because of what? His great beauty. Yeah. And then that original creation was judged. You know, and there was darkness. And what's interesting, when you read the account in Genesis of the 6 days of the recreation of the earth, what is the last thing that happened? Man's created in the image of God. And now we're getting close to the sixth day of human history. And when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to be rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And when we see him, we'll be what? We'll be like him. Well, on what day? The sixth day. Yeah. There's no scripture that's filler. God fulfills it all perfectly and completely. So in his ministry with these Jews, he said to them, I've got to look here. Oh, I forgot to push my button. Well, we started a little bit late. I'll go for just about 5 minutes more. All right, it says, let's start at verse 33 of the 12th chapter again. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. You know, there's not one reference from this back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Schofield has all kinds of references here, but none of them take us back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What tree is good and what tree is evil? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is evil, and the tree of life, the cross of Calvary, is good. So by one tree, we fall out of the image of God, and by the other tree, one sacrifice for sin forever, we're what? What was a cruel rack for our Lord becomes to us the tree of life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So he says, O generation of vipers, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. These are supposed to be the people of God. They said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. Yeah. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil or being of the evil one, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of a good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Now, evil was presented in what form? It was presented as good. Elohim doth know, or God doth know, that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be like God, Elohim, knowing good and evil. And so Elohim is the plural form of God. So it speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. That is, we're saved by grace through faith. Yeah. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We can't make ourselves fit for God's presence. But from the tree of life, we have life. and Christ died for our sins, and so we have eternal life. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And the Jews wanted to be judged by God's law. And so he says, this is what's going to happen. For by thy words, think about this. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If your words agree with the word of God that Christ died for your sin according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, what do you have? You have eternal life. And you shall never perish. But because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man has been using it ever since Adam and Eve. And in this age, no one ever asks the question, what is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. And what do the churches say is the Christian life? Man's morality. No, it's not. Man's morality shows that he is short of the glory of God. Man's morality, good is better than bad. But we can't be good enough by the lives that we live. Therefore, Christ had to die for our sins according to the scriptures. But man keeps going to that same evil tree and trying to use it to show what the Christian life is. And with the Jews, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. The Jews were always looking, show us a miracle. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but what? The sign of the prophet Jonah. Well, what was that sign? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the SS whale, great fish, is the way it should have been translated, in the great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah, the prophet of God, came forth from the belly of the great fish after 3 days and three nights. And Jesus Christ gave that to the nation of Israel as a sign. He was crucified. He was buried. He was in the tomb. He was placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Wednesday night. He was there Wednesday night, Wednesday day, Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, and arose from the dead at sunset or the beginning of Jewish Sunday. I don't know whether I said those names right. I might have got them wrong. But anyway, he was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday. The night precedes the day. So we have Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And at sunset is the first day of the week. And when the women came to the tomb the next morning, well, it's still dark, so we haven't gotten to the day portion. Christ is gone. So, do you realize that the whole Christian world makes our Lord Jesus Christ incapable of being our Savior? If you read the scriptures carefully and go back to the Gospel of John, you'll find that Jesus came from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany 6 days before Passover. Now, according to Christian tradition, the next day he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. What would the next day be? It would be Sunday. They say Palm Sunday. Well, they don't talk about how far he traveled the previous day. The distance just from Bethany to Jerusalem was a Sabbath day journey. It wasn't the 20 or 30 miles that he traveled that day. Okay. So our Christian tradition, just like Jewish tradition, has a way of undermining the truth. And yet, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. You know, we have to pay attention to these things, and it's amazing. You know, they want Christ to be born according to, what was it, Julius the First, that said that Christ was born on the 25th of December. There's absolutely no authority for that. The authority for a taxation, and actually it was a census for a taxation. You know, each one had to go to his own family or the city of his birth. Okay, so what was happening when Mary gave birth? The shepherds were watching their flock by night. When and only when did the shepherds watch their flock by night? In the spring, during lambing, when the lambs are being dropped, if they were in a fold, they'd get trampled to death before they could get to their feet. Now, and the Magi didn't arrive until about 2 years later. But we have that little creche figure and you know, the three wise men. With the wealth that they were carrying, it wouldn't have been three men. There were three gifts, but with the amount of wealth, that area was noted for bandits, you know. And when Mohammed came along, he was a bandit along that route. Anyway, what we need to do is read the Word of God for what it says and realize it is God's Word and God can't lie. So, Christ is not teaching us how to live when he speaks to the Jews under the law. He's telling them what they must do because they made a covenant relationship with God based upon law. And what did that covenant do? It condemned them. But God didn't leave them there. Along with the law, what did God give them? And read the book of Exodus. There's five times as much information about the other thing that Moses got on the mount besides the law from the 20th chapter of Exodus to the end of the book. And you ask the average person who professes to be a Christian, what did Moses get on the mount besides the law? They can't tell you. Well, he got the pattern of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. Why? Because you're going to fail under law, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And when you fail under the law, you need an appropriate sacrifice. Well, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer can never take away sin, but it would be fulfilled in the, who is Jesus, according to John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God, who does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for this public ministry of our Lord to the Jews, showing them that they were guilty before the law, pushing them to the place where they would recognize that they needed a Savior, and the Savior was only represented in the animal sacrifices. It took the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take away the sin of the world. Blessed in a very special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.